And Jesus said, such is the kingdom of God. You must become like a little child to enter the kingdom of God. And children are very, 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 very important for carrying on the work of the Lord and for their own spiritual platform for a foundation. So I encourage anyone here who senses that maybe you want to be part of a Sunday school teacher. Of course, you know, you must be attending this church for a while. We want to know who you are. But see my wife, and she wouldn't want me to say this, but she's been doing it for like 6 weeks. We've had people, you know, for whatever reasons, not show up. So I want to encourage if we can have a bigger routine or rotation for the sake of the little children and for just so people don't get burned out, see her. And again, if you've been coming to church, I think it's a good thing. So let's pray. Lord, we are grateful that we could be here and just for the opportunity to share your heart and be one with you as we are the bride of Christ, and the two shall become one. And as we are submitting to you and listening to your heart, surrendering our will for your will, we become more and more like you, more and more one with you. So give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us today as a church. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Okay, so turn with me to Revelation chapter 18. Last week, chapter 17, it was the religious Babylon, the harlot, riding on the beast, the Antichrist. It was the ecumenical religious system that will occur in these last days. And in this chapter, it's the commercial Babylon, the commercial system. And as God judged the religious system, tells us that she was burned and the ten kings, they ate her flesh. Obviously, he's not speaking physically, but symbolically. So we see here in this religious, commercial, not religious, but this commercial Babylon, how God's judgment is on it. Now, throughout the scriptures from the beginning, when Babel became a city from Nimrod, and then its name was transformed into Babylon, it was always about man living their life in disobedience to what God has for them. He said, go out, multiply the earth, fill the earth after the flood. But they said, no, let us draw together and build a city and make a name for ourselves. They didn't want their name to be under the Lord. So Babylon has always been symbolic of man being rebellious against God, doing his own thing, whether it be in religion or in the commercial aspect. So here we're going to see the commercial aspect of Babylon, the great, destroyed, completely destroyed in an hour, in a moment of time, he's saying, very, very quickly. And he gives us here the picture of this woman who says, you know, I'll never be a widow, she lives for pleasure and what have you. And that's the symbolism of man living his life in the commercial field without God. So what happens to this woman, or what happens to this city, which is also a system, completely destroyed because God is going to set up his city, which is the New Jerusalem. So these two cities are in conflict, the city of the flesh and the city of the spirit, the city of God and the city of Babylon, the flesh. Philippians says, for many walk, of whom I've often told you, now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship, Paul is saying, is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. So this is not my home. This is not your home. Whatever you do in word or deed, you do for the glory of God. You come to church, you serve the Lord in church for what reason? For the glory of God. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, some of us are at different levels. Obviously, we all grow at different rates. But for the man or the woman that is living for the Lord, he's eating the word of God. He knows what's good for him. And he continues to grow faster and stronger. Why? So he can be in competition and look down on people? No, because he loves Jesus, or she loves Jesus, and we want to be more like him. We want to meet him not in shame. We want to meet him in full confidence, full assurance, that, Lord, I'm living for you, and I'm going to die for you, whatever it may be. But it's progressive. But we have to really understand, I suppose, how are we applying that? How do we put feet on that truth, application? And that always comes on your choice every day, as unto the Lord or as unto my flesh. So 1 John, I'm just giving you a little introduction here before we go to Revelation 18. Don't love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Didn't Jesus say you can't love both money and God, mammon, at the same time? Either you'll love one and hate the other, or you'll love that other and hate the other. But so he's saying here, in reality, don't love the world. He's not saying to you that you shouldn't work, or you shouldn't do the best you can. But do you know what is the embryo of greed? I could tell you what it is. It's covetousness. When you covet, oh, I wish I had that car. I wish I had that house. I wish I had. So covetousness, think about that in your heart. Do we covet? Now, it's kind of like a spiritual sin. It's not so flamboyant as other sins. But covetousness is the root of the root of love of money. It's the root of the root of the love of money. So the world, if we get into the system, you can get caught up right into it and start living. You can get here's a big promotion for you. The devil is such a slicky. He puts the little carrot on a stick. He doesn't expect to win you to his Babylonian city of Egypt, of working and slaving for him. So, you know, he just very subtle-like makes these offers for you. And most of the times it comes when you're pretty much, when the soil is fertile and you're kind of like your heart is, you know, looking for something different. So be careful of that. It says, love not the world or the things of the world. Why that? If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, that is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Those three is not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lusts. However, the one who does the will of God lives forever. So here in chapter 18, we're going to see the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life, the commercial system of Babylon and its city, the headquarters of it, is going to pass away forever. And then we read in chapter 19, 20, 21, the new Jerusalem comes down. The old Babylon, God gets rid of. And now those who are living for God and the citizens of heaven, that's going to come down, and that's going to last forever. So you and I, we have opportunity while we're still here to live, serve, submit. Lord, these instruments are your instruments. I'm sure all of us are very aware of what's going on in Afghanistan. I'm glad I'm not a woman over there. If you were a woman over there, you would be raped. You would be taken out of your house. You'd be 17, 16, 12 years old, 30 years old, and you'd be given as a wife, a bride, to the Taliban. They are under Sharia law. If a woman is caught educating herself, she can lose her hands, her eyes, whatever it may be. She's like a slave in the house, and she's got to wear the burqa, you know, just with the eyes showing and the whole veil, and that's where they're going. That's where it's going to go. Now, think about this. For 20 years, if a child was born 20 years ago, they have no clue of what this all means. But now they're 20 years old. The United States bailed out unwisely. And these young girls, pray for them. These men who were in cahoots with the United States, pray for them. They're going to be beheaded. Yeah. Taliban doesn't change. They're under religious law. The men that were assets to the United States, they'll be tortured and killed. Man, it's a debacle. It is heavy duty. Pray, we do. That's why we're having 3 days of prayer. But could it happen here? We all agree. So what are we going to do about it? Should we not pray? You know, right now, if you don't know it or not, we're in a weakened position. We look shameful, not because we're patriots, but because our word and the way we did things. Who could trust us if the United States does what they do to what they did in Afghanistan, and thousands, tens of thousands of people, and even 12,000, 10,000 Americans are still there. We'll see what happens. But I heard on the news, even the UK, England, you know, they have their parliament and they have, you know, they all come out. And this one particular senator, I guess he was like, he said, how shameful it is for America to say that it was Afghanistan's fault because they ran. And, you know, blaming the Afghanistans, but meanwhile, all these people are going to suffer. So, I mean, different nations are seeing a weakness. And when they see weakness, they don't just look the other way. But understand this. Why did we go into Afghanistan in the first place? Because of ISIS, and not allow them to bring in any kinds of weaponry or bombs or whatever it is from bin Laden. And so now that country is going to be a nest of rats for all kinds of diabolical stuff to destroy you, me, United States. As you know, we've given them all of our equipment over there, all of our armory, whatever we had, weaponry, whatever, helicopters, jeeps, guns, all everything like that. So there's a lot that could happen with them taking over besides just ruining that country and the women and the men. It can affect us down the road. Not too far. Really can. So we're here to represent Jesus. We're not here for any other reason but to pray, because that's your power. That's your strength, is to believe Jesus to hold back the evil. It's going to come, evil, but we have the power under the name of Jesus to hold it back. Now, I don't know about you, but I think prayer is truly the hardest discipline, one of the hardest disciplines for a Christian. We could agree, yeah, we need to pray. Yeah, I need to pray. But then we don't do nothing. Shame on us. Rather say nothing and let your actions prove. Because the more we talk about something and we don't do it, the weaker we get. Better to say something and do it and follow it out than not to say nothing and just talk to the Lord. Can I get an amen? Because this is truth. This is my life too. I'm the same way. You know, I can get emotional. Yeah. Woo, woo. Yeah, it's wrong. I'm going to pray. And then when the time comes to discipline myself to pray, I'm eating pizza. Or I'm eating macaroni. Or, you know, I'm taking a nap. Or watching the news. So disciplining ourselves to further the kingdom of God and to stop the tide of evil is through prayer. Again, I encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, that's my job, to bring it out and show you the truth of it, but then it's up to you to think about it, pray about it in your mind, say, God, are you speaking to me? So where do we go from here? Let's go to Revelation 18. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Now, just a quick understanding here. Angels don't have glory in themselves. They have glory because it's the glory of God that they're reflecting. And for you and I, we have no glory. We have no life in ourselves. The only life we have is if we're spending time with Jesus. This angel is in heaven with God, spending time with God, and he comes down and lights up everything. If we spend time with God, your light is going to shine bright. And it's going to be recognized, as it was with Peter when they were brought before the Sanhedrin. They said, where did these men learn this? They're not educated. And then it says they recognized that they had been with Jesus. See, people recognize your light when we are walking with close with Jesus. And on the other hand, you know, they'll recognize the other stuff. So it says here, the angel came from heaven, and he has an announcement. And he cried out mighty with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen twice, like, boom, it's done. And it became a habitation of devils, and the hold, or the cage, or the prison of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hurtful bird. Now, the symbolic teaching here of that bird is, remember Jesus talked about the three different types of soil of the seed. And some of the seed at the beginning fell on hard soil. And it says the birds came and took it out right away. And then he explains the bird, he said, is the devil that comes and takes the word from the heart of a person right away. If you ever witness to someone and all of a sudden there's so many distractions. When I was on the boardwalk Friday, I'm speaking to this gentleman, and he's smoking a cigarette, no problem. And I'm giving him some information about Jesus, and guess what happens? His phone rings. And I said to him, I said, you know, the devil doesn't want you to hear this. He said, the devil don't want me? I said, no. He said, all right, give me that. And I gave him the track. The birds that he's talking about here, of every unclean spirit, every foul spirit, is in this system of Babylon. And it's a cage. It's a prison. And you know, Jesus said, he who commits a sin is a slave to sin. If I follow the Babylonian system, which is adverse against God's kingdom of losing my life for his glory, but I'm living for myself, my flesh, I'm living in sin, and I become part of this cage. I get locked in because sin brings slavery. Sin does not free a man or a woman. That's why Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So very clearly, we're seeing the symbolism of these devils. They're in this Babylonian system, and it's also going to be a city. We'll show you that later. And every unclean and foul bird, and every hatred bird. Jesus said the devil, he's a liar, the father of lies, and he's been a murderer from the beginning. Do you see all the hatred that's occurring now? These are devils that are instigating hate and murder. You know, when you read about sometimes these kids that go into schools and shoot down everybody, they have listened to the devil so much, so long, without even knowing it, that they take that extra leap and they murder, and they're doing the work for the devil. And now they're in prison of the state, whatever it may be, to spend the rest of their life. And if they don't repent, they go to hell. So you see, these unclean birds are in the Babylonian system. These birds of hate, these devils, they're different kinds of devils. Some people submit or surrender to sexual devils. You know, devils have different assignments. Believe that. They do. They have different assignments. Some are for the intellectual, and they get you to think more in your mind and kind of doubt God's word. You also have devils that work for men or women to get sexual. And this is the work of the devil. And he wants to bring you into his cage, the system, because once you're in, only the grace of God gets you out. He who commits a sin is a slave to sin, but whom the Son set free is free indeed. Amen. But the only way, hear me out, the only way we can get free is to stay in the Word and surrender and submit and have an awareness of temptation when it comes your way. Have an awareness rather than just filling with your flesh. Now, I've done that. I've been wrong where I let my emotion, my flesh, get the best of me, but I was set up and I didn't recognize it. But now I'm recognizing more and more that the devil is out big time to pick off you and me more than ever before. Through the pandemic, people who weren't rooted, they're gone. May God have mercy. That's all I know. That's all I could say. But everyone is going to be tested in a weakness that the devil knows about you. You know it, and he'll come at you in that particular area of your life to destroy you. So be aware that this Babylonian system is in fruition right now. It's as big as it's going to get and bigger. And these unclean spirits, these devils are out there trying to pull you into their cage of slavery through sin. So now in verse 3 it says, for all of the nations, all of the peoples, have drunk of the wine of the passion or the fierceness of her immorality. And the kings, that is our leaders of the earth, have committed acts of immorality with her. And the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth or power of her sensuality. As we read, you'll see this city. So here you have a couple of groups of different people. You have all the nations, all the people in every nation. And then you have the leaders, the kings, who are over these nations. And they're committing immorality. They're coming together. It's a world market, an antichrist market. Babylon, capitalism is good. It's evil when they lose the fear of God and the laws of God. And that's what we have today. Capitalism is good. Unless a man work, let him not eat, the Bible says. But when capitalism loses the fear of God and it loses the laws of God in their life, it becomes so evil, it's anti-God. And that's what you have today with the leaders, with the merchants. Everything is to make money, the Babylonian system. And the merchants are the people who want to get some of that money too. So you have three types of people here. And he's going to give us the picture of this harlotry. It's not literal immorality with each other, but it's against God. It's against him and his kingdom. Verse 4, then I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive her plagues. So God is giving a warning. He's not saying, I don't believe, to come out of the city, because wherever you go, you're still going to be involved in some form with evil. It's going to be there. So when he says, come out of her, my people, he later on says, do not participate in her sins. Come out from this methodology of sinning to make money. Come out of her, my people. So who are his people? Is he speaking just to the Jews? No. When they went to Jesus and they said, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside. They want to talk to you. Jesus is giving a sermon. And Jesus turns around and he says, who are my mother and my brothers? And he said, all who do the will of my Father. So you see, he was saying here, that it's the spirituality that makes you his person, his in his family. He's got a natural family, you would think, as we all do sometimes. Well, my mother and my father or my brothers and sisters, naturally speaking, they got something planned for me. What are you going to say? Lord, can I follow you and say what you just said? That those who do the will of God is my family. Because there's times when you have to choose between tradition of your family and what God is asking you to do. So Jesus, on the natural side, would say, wow, how disrespectful, man. He just dissed his mother and his brothers. They want to speak to him, and he's supposed to be a holy man. And he said, who are my mother and who are my brothers? Not the natural, but the spiritual, those who do the will of my Father. So when it says, come out of her, my people, why? So that you will not participate in their sins and receive their plagues. When Paul was speaking to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 6:17, he says, therefore come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. He gives a promise. You know, prior to that, he says, what does darkness have to do with light? You know, don't be hanging out with darkness and participating. You got to be separate. Hallelujah. See, church is not just the church in order to be, okay, obligational. But it's to love Jesus. It's to be obedient to his word. And if his word says, don't participate in their sins, but to come out, it's going to cost me something. But in the end, it says that the Father himself will say, you're mine. And I'm almighty, and I will take care of you. Do you see the beauty of the Lord giving us that free will of choice in order to nurture love for him? If you never sacrifice for him, your love will be stymied. You may be saved, but you'll be a pygmy. You won't experience the love of God unless it costs you something. Can I get an amen to that? No greater love has a man than to what? Lay down his life for his brother. So it's a cost. Love is costly. So praise the Lord. He's telling those who are living in this world, and he says, you're my people. And we understand he's speaking spiritually for those who are his people. So who are his people? Those that do the will of my Father. He said it's in Timothy, excuse me. About being a vessel for the Lord. He said, know this, the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord abstain from wickedness. 2 Timothy. If you know the Lord and you believe in the Lord says, I know who you are. And if you belong to me, you will be abstaining, separating yourself from wanting to live in sin. Now, we fall, I get that. Very clearly, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So the Lord is making an escape hatch for us. But if you're living in it and never feeling conviction, it's kind of like when you get married, you know? Check this out. You get married, so meanwhile you have a backlog of old girlfriends or old boyfriends. And yet, after you get married, you're still staying in contact with them. You're still talking to them on the phone. How can that be? One man, one woman. You can't divide your heart with the old stuff anymore if you belong to Jesus. That old stuff, whatever it may be in your life or my life, you check it out. You know, we talk about different situations in your life. I want to be honest with you on this one, just so you know that there's an opportunity for us to make right what's wrong. I was in a supermarket not too long ago, and I'm in a supermarket. Everyone's perked up here. Hear this? Okay. So I'm in the supermarket, and this gentleman is walking by me with his card on the phone, right? Blah 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 blah. And he nips me, and I said in my mind, I said, "Oh man," I said, "Oh." And I was angry inside my head. But you see, that's where I should have squashed it, because he made a U-turn and came back and did it again. But because I was already angry in my head, I pushed it, the cart, when he banged into me. You see? Now, if I released that anger, if I understood, but I understand, man, John, you got some evil stuff still in you. This is what I learned from it. And to nip it in the bud. And so when I kind of bumped him after he bumped me, or at the same time, he said, "Don't you touch me. Get your hands off me." And I said to him, "I haven't touched you." And so we were nose to nose. Yeah, your pastor, you would never think it. He was back in the streets again. I was angry at him, and he was angry at me. And he walked away mumbling. I walked away anger. I get what I had to get. I go to the cash register. There's a couple of different lines. So I go online. I'm paying for it, and I look over to my right, and there he is online. So I had some eggs, and I look at him, and the Lord gave me redemption. I went up to him. I said, "Hey, man, I'm sorry." Just like that. I said, "Hey, man, I'm sorry." I stuck up my hand. He said, "Yeah, I'm sorry, too. I was on the phone. I wasn't paying attention." I said, "You're right. It's not worth it." But I thank God that he gave me redemption to redeem myself, to understand I was wrong. No, he bumped into me, but my old man, my anger that was in me, should have been squashed at the very beginning. But I let it stay inside of me. And I didn't figure this out, but it was already inside of me. I was setting myself up. If he does that again, ooh. You see, I didn't say all of that, but that's what was happening. And sure enough, came back and did it again, and my goodness. After, when he walked away, and I'm shopping, and I'm saying, "Boy, that was wrong, John. You are so wrong in your heart. You are wrong." And I admitted it. I didn't justify it. "Well, he hit me," and blah, 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 blah. No, I was wrong. I'm a follower of Christ, and it's just not who I want to be anymore. I'm a new creation. So he set it up so that I could ask for forgiveness. And that's a good thing to understand in all of our lives. He doesn't want us to sin. He wants us to come out from that. But if you do, make it right away. God will give us opportunities, because if we don't learn from our sins, you're going to repeat it. By the grace of God, I know now. It's in me. I have an Adamic nature like you have. And there are certain things that God brings to the surface. For what reason? To clean you up. Not to beat you down, but to clean you up. I thought I was gone with that stuff. Have anyone ever done something like that? Come on. Have you ever come to a point, and I'm not going to ask you, have you ever come to a point where you cursed? Oh, Christians don't do that. They're not supposed to. But have you ever done that in your mind, maybe, if you haven't said it with your mouth? So listen, we have that in us. And only for us to recognize it and ask for forgiveness are we separating ourselves from that system, because the devil is setting us up not just for sin, but to destroy your testimony, to destroy your faith, your family, and everything else. So nip it in the bud. Can I get an amen? Amen. So where are we? Okay. So it says don't participate, right? In that same verse. And Ephesians 5:11 says the same thing. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. Don't participate. Don't fight fire with fire. In verse 5. Why is this? He said, for her sins have piled as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. It is appointed unto man to die once, and then comes judgment. But then it also says in Hebrews 9:28, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of the many, will appear a second time for salvation without remembrance of sin, or without reference to sin, to those who eagerly await him. So no matter where we are, saved or unsaved, it's appointed unto man to die once. You are going to die if you don't get raptured. You don't know the date, the time, how it'll happen, none of that, but be ready. That's the point. And for the unsaved, it's going to be a time of judgment. It is appointed unto man to die once, and then judgment. And then it's too late for those who don't have Jesus Christ, who paid for their sins. And they'll pay for eternity in hell. And the Bible very clearly talks about the white throne judgment. And it's going to pass away everything. And these souls that are waiting to be sentenced to hell are in Hades. They're in that holding pen. And then the day will come when they will go before Christ, the great white throne. And it says, and the book was opened, the book of life. And if their name was not in there, the other books, plural, were opened. And they'll be judged according to their deeds. So the Hitlers and others, they're going to get the fire according to the depth of their sin. But hell is hell. You never get out. That's enough for me. Whether, oh, I'm not going to burn as much. Hey, listen, you're in there forever. Darkness, gnashing. So you don't even want to go there. But he said, but yet Christ paid in full for my sins and your sins. Listen to this. In John 5:24, he says this. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Hallelujah. Say it again. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him, the Father who sent me, has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Wow. Simply put, Christ took my judgment. He took your judgment. He's not going to remember my sins. But for those who are living in the Babylonian system, who are living for this world, God's going to remember their sins, and they will be judged accordingly. But for you, Jesus said, you're in it, but you're not of it. We're in this world, but we're not of it. Our citizenship is in heaven. Can I get an amen? And brothers and sisters, it's getting sifted out. Don't throw in the towel now for the world. Throw it in for Jesus and say, Jesus, I surrender. No matter what comes down the pike, I'm living for you, Lord. Now, back. He remembers our deeds or our iniquities no more. One scripture verse, Hebrews 8:12. A new covenant, the blood of Jesus, for I will be merciful to their sins, and I will remember their sins no more. Throws our sins in the sea of forgetfulness. He doesn't remember. He's not going to bring it up. He's not going to say, John, you remember this, that, and you remember that incident in the supermarket, John? You remember? He's not going to bring that up. My sins are forgiven. Say amen if you're with me. So this is all good news. Amen. So verse 6 and 7. So he says, pay her back. That is this Babylonian system. Even as she has paid, and give back a double according to her deeds, and the cup which she has mixed twice as much for her. It's the double law of restitution found in Exodus chapter 22. And to the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensually, to the same degree give her torment and mourning, for she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I'm not a widow, and will never see mourning. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life. I'm going to live forever. That's what the unbeliever thinks. Verse 16 through 19, we see the judgment now. For this reason, in one day her plagues will come. Pestilence, mourning, famine, and she will be burned up with fire. For the Lord God who judges her is strong. And the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sensually with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her. Now we're going to see that the headquarters of this Babylonian capitalism without Christ. We don't know where it is. But it says they will lament over her, the kings of the earth, the leaders, when they see the smoke of her burning. And standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth, those who trade, will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Trade. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, and every kind of citron wood, and every article of ivory, and every article made from very costly wood and bronze and iron and marble, cinnamon, spice, incense, perfume, frankincense, wine, olive oil, and fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, cargoes of horses, chariots, slaves, and human lives. The fruit you long for has gone from you, and all things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and men will no longer find them. And the merchants of these things who became rich from her will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning. Many have said, and I believe this, there's a nuclear explosion that occurs on this city that is the capital of commercialism. And in 1 hour, one quick thing, fire and smoke, they're going to see from a distance and they're going to fear the torment of it, not go near it. What could that be? Radiation, maybe? They don't want to go near it. And they say, that's it. It's over. And I can only suggest, in my own mind, that could be America. That's how I see it. We are the capital of trade, merchandise, and it's our dollar. The value of our dollar is what everyone measures their money against. We are that great city, spiritually speaking. Now, whether or not it's actually the city itself, but spiritually speaking, for without a doubt, we are the head, America. Why do people want to come here and not other nations? Why is it that we trade everything here? Kings trade with us. They make deals with us. Merchants, they make deals with us to bring their cargo to other nations. But at this point, there is no more trading. It's done. It's finished. The Babylonian system and that capital of that city, wherever it may be, in 1 hour, God's judgment will come and fire and smoke, and they won't go near it for fear of its torment. Radiation could be. And I think it could be. We deserve it. The Babylonian capitalism without the fear of God and without the laws of God is evil, wicked. It's like building the Tower of Babel. We'll make a name for ourselves. We don't want this God stuff. We got the God of money. We got the God of trade. We sit as a queen. I'm never going to die. I'm in charge of my life. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life. This is all deception. This is what comes into the minds of people who live for the almighty dollar. But God says that Babylonian system, it's kaput. It's going to end. But he who does the will of my Father will never end. So you're at a choice now. When it happens, when does it happen? We don't know. Some say at the end of the tribulation. Some say possibly mid-tribulation. Some have said it could be at the beginning of it. Are we here? I hope not. But are you ready? That's what counts. Because you're going to die unless you get raptured. Don't put your money on the rapture. You love the Lord. Put your money on that. Lord, I don't want to be a faker. I just don't want to sneak into heaven by the skin of my teeth. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't like hypocrisy in me. I don't like it. If I say something, I want to be true to it. I don't want to, oh, yeah, okay, I didn't mean it then, or I don't want to be a man who's not good to his word. And I pray all of you are like that. You're only as good as your word. If your word is flaky, guess what? That's who you are. So I want to be, I'm not perfect, but I want to speak in truth the love of God. And if I say something, let me not say something if I'm not going to follow through on it. Can I get an amen? That's the truth of God that he wants for all of us. So it says that they were hanging out, not getting close, weeping and mourning, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city who was clothed in fine linen, purple, scarlet, adorned with gold, precious stones, pearls, for in 1 hour such a great wealth has been laid waste. And every shipmaster, every passenger, sailor, and as many as made their living by the sea stood at a distance, and they were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like this great city? And they threw dust on their heads and were crying out, weeping, mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she had been laid waste. Boom. Rejoice, it says, over her, O heaven and you saints and apostles and prophets. Why? Because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. Then a strong angel took a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea. They weigh a couple hundred pounds. And so he gives the example. So will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence, and it will not be found any longer. And the sound of harpists, musicians, music, flute, players, trumpeters will not be heard in you any longer. And no craftsman or craft will be found in you any longer. The sound of the mill or work will not be heard in you any longer. And the light of the lamp will not shine in you any longer. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will not be heard in you any longer. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. Because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of the prophets, the saints, and all who have been slain on the earth throughout the history of the sins of Babylon and Christ murdered God's people." That's my interpretation. Since Babylon with Nimrod, that system has been a system of greed without God. And people murder for that, and they kill the people who teach against it. John the Baptist, for example, when he told Herod's, you know, hey, you're living with your brother's wife, not Herod, but Herod's brother, you're living with your brother's wife, and it's wrong. So what happened? Put him in prison, he lost his head. So he was a martyr from the Babylonian system. The Babylonian system is not just one area, it's but people living without God for money, for commercialism. And so he says there's no longer going to be any music. Now compare that to the new city coming down in the next chapters. This new Jerusalem is never going to end. This new Jerusalem is going to have singing. They're not going to have singing in Babylon. There's going to be harps in heaven. Whatever that is, we're going to be singing musically in heaven. It says there that there's not going to be a lamp in this Babylonia to shine anymore. But yet the Bible tells us that there'll be no need of the sun or the moon, because the Lamb will be the light. And that lamp will never go out. So you see, there's going to be a comparison here to the city of Babylon, living for the flesh, and the city of God. And there'll be productivity. Here in Babylon, you don't hear any workers moving on. But yet the Bible says that we're going to have positions in heaven. You're going to be working, but not by the sweat of your brow. You're going to be enjoying what God has given you to do for his glory. Next week, as you study this chapter, read the next chapter and just familiarize yourself a little bit with this new city, because this old lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is passing. Be ahead of the curve. If there's anything now, after you leave here, maybe you need to ask God for forgiveness for something. Maybe there's something that you sense you've been following a carrot that is pulling you a little bit into the cage of slavery. And there needs to be a seriousness inventory sometimes in our lives. And if God has brought it to the surface in you, that's a good thing. I can experience that. Because now I can repent of it and say to myself, Lord, I'm going to be aware next time of the devil hitting my flesh, because that was wrong of me, but it was the devil that was setting me up. So with every head bowed, as the musicians come up, let me just ask everyone here, you don't have to agree with this, but if God has spoken to your heart, and you know he has spoken to your heart, I'm not asking you for what,